This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Now we welcome another friend of mine who is the host of the Travel Tales podcast. And he's hosted many TV shows about real estate and movies and all kinds of stuff. And he joins us now on the stream all the way from Florida, USA. Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
Florida, USA. Thank you, Pete. It's always fun to be here. And I got to say, I love waiting in the wings because I get to hear WGBW news. So I don't get enough gray wolf killing news.
Hey, wolf killing was I missed a story. I think I checked out during that.
They're decimating these farmers' flocks.
Oh, really?
I guess they call them. I guess, yeah.
You don't have that problem.
Should we limit it, Pete? Do you not listen to your own news? Because I'm telling you.
Look, can a guy take a bathroom break, Mike? Is that against the law? It's good to have you, buddy. You are okay. So you're in Florida. I know you're visiting family, but you live in L.A. You know,
I live in L.A.
First things first, and I'm glad you moved a little bit further south or you could be right in the line of actual fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
What have you heard from friends of ours or people that you know out there about what today was like, if anything?
Pete, it's really bad. I've lived there about 27 years and people who have lived there even longer said they've never seen anything like it. We've always seen fires. You know, there's a fire season.
Sure.
But it's kind of disturbing. You know, that fire season is usually it went from like the occasional, you know, the fire time of year, which is the end of summer because it doesn't rain all summer.
Right.
And it's a tinderbox by September when it's really hot. And that's our fire season usually. But usually get rain in the winter to kind of like bring it back.
Right.
And we just haven't gotten rain. And so for this to happen in January, for one, that's bad enough, but it was record winds and it just fueled this thing really bad. So I know a lot of people that have evacuated, a couple people whose parents have lost their homes. I don't know any personally who've lost their homes, but I'm sure I will soon. Yeah. It's really bad. And the place just, you know, stinks of smoke from what I hear, and ashes everywhere on, you know, you walk out and it's just like a inch of ash on your car and it's really bad.
I've been watching Facebook all day and some, you know, we have friends in that area. I've heard Pacific Palisades is gone, basically.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I remember taking the kids to Will Rogers Park. It was this beautiful park and you know, just going through there all the time when we would go to the beach. It's so terrible. And then out in Pasadena, they're having these issues too. And you're right. It's like for a while, I remember eating at a Sharky's in Burbank. And there was just a fire across the highway.
Yeah,
and we're just eating like, because it was part of the, and I was always like, should that be happening? But there was always that danger that if there was a big wind, that it could happen. And this is like absolute worst case scenario. It's so awful.
Yeah, and just iconic places in Malibu, you know, that we went to, Moonshadows, that famous bar is gone.
I love that place. Is that right? Oh my God.
Moonshadows is gone. I don't know about the Getty Villa. I've heard maybe that might be gone, but all the businesses up and down PCH, I don't know what the state of the pier is, but the Real Inn, which was a very famous seafood place, is gone. I've heard it might be at Duke's, and I was in Santa Monica, you know, for 5 years, and it's inching towards there, and the people in North Santa Monica have already been asked to evacuate. So I head back on Friday. I'm really, really worried about what I'm going to see going back. So
it's terrible. Moonshadows was the place. Well, it's famous for Mel Gibson's rant a few years ago.
Yeah, that's where he got drunk and left.
But we used to go there to get clam chowder after going to Zuma Beach, and that you could, every time we went there, the kids loved it because you would see dolphins. I mean, I'm sure they'll rebuild. I hope anyway, but it's so awful. But anyway, I'm glad you're out of harm's way. You're in Florida where all you have to worry about are hurricanes and another kind of natural disaster.
Oh, What happens up there? What are the natural disasters up there in Wisconsin, Pete?
Cold, yeah, Mike. I honestly, and I don't know, Conrad, maybe you can vouch for me. People have said, oh, this you're so better off here than with all those earthquakes. Well, earthquakes are scary. You know, I went through a few of them, but you're more likely to slip and crack your head open. I mean, in the winter here, it can be treacherous. And earthquakes I'd rather take than the cold. I don't, this fire though, I'm not messing around.
When I look back on all those years on the road and doing one nighters all through Michigan and Wisconsin in the dead of winter, and you and I did them both, and we would be driving home, and this is pre cell phone and things like that. And I remember going on 2-lane highways in northern Wisconsin. In the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside, right. And in my little Tercel, and I was and there's no street lights, totally dark, and you're just going, man, one skid off the road, there's no houses nearby, I'm dead, I freeze to death out here, or you know, I would always think about worrying about hitting a deer,
right?
You know, one deer jumps out in front of me, and it's like I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Right, yeah, exactly. Just my frozen corpse holding my $50 I made emceeing up there somewhere.
Where you have a dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass and that Tercel over there. So
holding his date book, holding my address book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mike, it's interesting. You host this great podcast. Let's do this first. Okay, we've been talking about high school dances a little bit, and I wanted to go into this with you. Did you have dances? We're about the same age, our early 30s.
Sure.
Did you have dances, and how often? And what song, what was your favorite song to slow dance to?
Well, the big ones, we had definitely prom and homecoming. Yeah. Those are the two big ones. After that, we didn't really have, maybe there was some school dances other than that, but I don't recall them. You know, it was just all about, and I wasn't known for busting a move, Pete. I don't know if you know that about me. Cutting a rug was not my deal.
The legend lives on. It's your inability to dance in the Edmund Fitzgerald. It gets around.
Yeah. I think we're the same age, but if you can, so I'll give away my age here. So my senior year, you can guess what my prom theme was.
It Heaven.
Was a song, big hit song. It was not.
Oh.
Maybe you can. It was by the band. It was a number one hit by the band. And this is apropos growing up in the suburbs of Chicago by the band Chicago.
Oh,
and it was a slow dance.
Tell
number one hit.
Say, oh, hold me now. Hard for me to say I'm sorry. No,
no, no. That's older.
let's see. Chicago.
Thinking mid 80s here.
Yeah, I'm trying. Peter Cetera. I can't think of his songs right now. All right, just spill
it. I'll put you out here. It's You're the Inspiration.
Oh, God.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was our prom theme. You're the Inspiration.
And it made 17-year-old couples feel very special, like they found their soulmate.
Yeah. Did you go through that phase where, like, somebody, you'd be at a party and it's like, oh, they're going to slow it down. And it's like, yeah, okay, here's my chance. I'm going to get to cozy up to a gal.
Yeah.
And then somebody idiot puts on Stairway to Heaven. So you're good for the first 3-4 minutes. And then the jam kicks in. And we're like, well, what do we do now? You can't dance to it, but you can't slow dance to it. You know? So now we're just standing here going, nodding your head like, yeah, rock on.
Mike, I was talking about that earlier, like I, more than anything,
did I just, oh, I'm sorry.
No. The awkwardness of those moments in high school are just, they're unparalleled. And like you just said, when you're slow dancing to Stairway to Heaven and then the beat picks up and it's maybe a girl you don't know that well. And all of a sudden it's like, well, should I keep going like this? Or do I take a couple steps back and start?
You know, do I air guitar like I do at home at this moment? Jimmy Page solo,
awful.
I gotta do it.
Yeah, I picked True by Spandau Ballet.
That's a nice one.
That's kind of a nice background song or soundtrack to my high school dance. And we, like I was telling Conrad, we had a high school dance every week in Marinette. Every weekend.
Every week.
Three high schools would filter into our little Catholic gym. And they were really fun. It was kind of, that was the place, you know, small town, you need something to do on the weekends, you know.
I know, but you went to a Catholic school where there are those rules where, like, no touching, no too close dancing is... Show some distance.
Yeah, the chaperones oftentimes look the other way. And we did have
grab-assery.
We did have police there once or twice. There's usually a fight, you know, because people sometimes people had too much to drink.
A fight.
Yeah, not between people slow dancing, but you know, I would say four dances a month, two of those, a couple guys are going to throw down and be idiots. And, you know, one guy, this is the best, Mike. One time a guy, you know, he got punched so hard. Everybody in the gym heard his head hit the wood floor. And it was like,
oh, no.
It was kind of a collective, ooh. And ooh. Then he's on the floor. They had to call paramedics. He gets up after like a half hour. The guy that did this to him was like twice his size. And the dance had ended. And they're still working on this kid. We're all outside. He exits and he goes, where is that bleepity bleep? Like he comes out.
He wants a piece.
His eye was out of the socket. And someone said, oh, he said, if you want to get your ass kicked again, give him a call. He had to go home. So
set up a meeting to put you out on the floor another time.
Exactly. But
that's
it
so
was
funny.
Great memories. My
Where
guest
is he?
No idea. I didn't
had
know
enough?
Him.
That's when he comes out.
Yeah,
he right. comes out. He goes, had enough.
My guest is Mike Siegel. You can check out his podcast, Travel Tales. Mike has been all over the world. He loves travel and he loves talking to people who travel. You had a guest on recently, Mike, who was in Hawaii on the heels of the Hawaii fires last year.
Yeah.
What's Hawaii like now?
Well, this is the Maui and Lahaina. Everybody remembers those fires that just went through there super quick. You know, high winds, all it takes is one spark and boom. And it took out, I had been working on a cruise ship, about a couple months before that landed in Lahaina in Maui. And just normal. I had been there a number of times. It's a great little town right on the sea there. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I looked down a couple months later and it was gone. I mean, it's just gone. So, but she wanted to make it known that she went, it's been a year and a half ago. I think it was August of 2023. And the rest of the island, Lahaina is still being rebuilt, but the rest of the island is open. So the problem is when the fire happened, everybody canceled their plans. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the island's like, hey, we're still open and we need the business more than ever now. You know, they need the money. And so if you want to, and there's deals out there to be had because there's still vacancies and stuff. So if you really want to go to Hawaii and Maui in particular, go there because they could use you, you know,
right.
And you won't see Lahaina, but everything else on the, there's still a whole rest of the island that could use some love. So that's what we talked about.
Okay. That's great. So Google, I would say Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel, Mike. All right. Mike Siegel's here. We'll have a few more minutes with Mike after a very short break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is a great song that I have not heard in ages, but Larry from the 608 says, if you're still collecting slow dance songs, did anyone mention Ferry Cross the Mercy?
Oh, yeah. That's
that one?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Great song. I just
Ferry Cross. I can't sing it or else we'd get tagged copyright law.
You end up in copyright jail.
I got to pay ASCAP or BMI or whatever it is.
Yeah, that was a great tune. Thank you, Larry, for that. It's fun to hear these songs coming out of the woodwork, some I haven't thought about in quite a while. Mike Siegel is here for a few more minutes on the stream from Florida, hanging out with his family this week, and it's a good thing he is out of Southern California at the moment.
Wow, what timing, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. Well done. Mike, I asked you before the break, the cruise ships, what's the best and the worst of working cruise ships as a stand-up comic?
Well, the positives are, the money is pretty decent, and you could make more for a week on the ship than you would make at a week in a club usually.
Yeah.
So that's good. Two is they cover all the travel and everything else. And so not having travel expenses is huge. And also when you're on the ship, you're not really spending a lot of money unless you're going crazy with like gambling or something or like drinking a lot or whatever. Even then we get discounts and things. So as long as you're, you know, you're there, all your food is paid for and everything else. So you're not spending a lot either.
Yeah.
So though, and the venues can be really nice, like beautiful theaters. If you're in the main theater, you could be like, you know, these things are set up for, you could be a 1,800 to 1,000 seat theater that's made for these big musical numbers and huge shows. So the sound is top notch usually and that kind of stuff. And there's a crew that are all really well trained usually. So that's good. The downsides are a lot of travel. You're gone a lot. And once you're out on that ship, it's like being on an airplane. You're helpless. You cannot just get out and leave and go home. You know what I mean? You're at, right. You're at mercy of the weather. You're at mercy of whatever conditions. If the captain says, hey, we can't go forward and you got a plane to catch the next day, sorry. Or if it's you know, really bad weather and you're delayed and got to spend another night in a port, or it's really rocky. So that you're kind of helpless in that way. As someone who's kind of a control freak who likes to control their vacations, I'd like to be able to do my show and go home afterwards, but I can't.
Right.
You know, I could be on for a week. The contract runs for a week, and I might only work one night or two nights. And now, and people think, oh, that's great. You got to, you know, get a free cruise. It's like, I don't need a free cruise at this point. I would rather go home.
Right.
You know, so we're not, I always tell people we're not paid for the shows we do. We're paid for the amount of time we're gone away from home. And also, I mean, although it's getting better, the Wi-Fi situation is rough out there.
Yeah.
It really varies from ship to ship and from cruise line to cruise line. So if you have any kind of online presence, if you want to like upload video or down, there's like, it's not strong enough to stream Netflix or something like that. It's tough. So if you, people try to like, oh, I'm going to be an online, I'm going to be a blogger and just upload stuff every day. Well, good luck.
Right.
Like I try to upload podcasts and things and download video or upload video and it could be really, really tough. So if you're trying to, if you're used to having it with you, you know, Wi-Fi access all the time, that's a tough thing too. And also if you have a bad show, you're stuck on the, on a ship with these people.
That's horrible. I remember we would swap messages and you'd be like, oh, I'm on a ship, so we'll be docking in 3 hours, or maybe I could talk tomorrow. I'm like, oh God, that must be awful. You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get a phone signal, you gotta, you know, you can't use there. If you, there is a cellular at sea option, which is like amazingly expensive. And people, a lot of people start using their phone as if they're, you know, talking at home, and they come back home to this gigantic bill. So you usually keep your phone in airplane mode while you're on the ship just to be safe. Pete, I got a great story as a comic for you.
All right. We got about 2 minutes. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So I said about like people, you know, if you have a good show or bad show, you know, I kind of stay to myself on the ship. I don't like mingling with the people that much, but I did a show. It was the last night of the cruise. And the next day I want to get a quick breakfast before I head out to the airport. And that's what everybody else is doing. They're getting their last breakfast. So the place is packed. And I had to force to share a table with this old couple. And this is an old British lady. And she goes, were you the comedian from last night? I go, yes, I was. And she goes, well, my husband and I, we enjoyed your show. But the people next to us didn't like it at all. I'm thinking to myself, could have stopped halfway in that sentence. Didn't need to know the net. Didn't need to know the last part. Thank you very much.
Are you going to finish your eggs? That's so
just
great.
Had to make a point of saying, well, we liked it, but these other people, they did not care for you at all.
Oh, that's like, so great.
Why would you bother?
Yeah. You don't have to share everything that comes into your head, lady.
Had to tell me.
I thought you were going to go the route like they ended up being swingers and the trip ended up okay. But, hey, buddy, this was fun. I'd love to say I'll have you on again, but I just got a notification on my phone that LinkedIn says I'm getting noticed. So
what?
I got stuff going on. Oh,
You know. I didn't answer Des Hotel's question.
Oh yeah. All right, we got about 30 seconds. Sorry, Mike.
Okay,
but go for it.
The scene in the bathroom. Yeah. It wasn't in the script. I don't know. I just wanted to do something funny because I didn't have much to say during this scene. You know, I was kind of reacting to Tony Goldwyn. I was like, oh, maybe I can try to steal a laugh somewhere out the ad lib something on the way out the door. So I bumped my shoulder into the paper towel dispenser and tried to pick a fight with it.
You stared down an inanimate object. It was beautiful. You have you do a lot of cruise ships.
I do.
And you just mentioned that. I know you have kind of a love-hate. As most of my comic friends do. They work cruise ships for the money. It's good. It's decent money. And I would imagine at first you're excited to see some places and be on a boat. But it seems like the charm wears off. Let's do this after the break. What are some of the good things about working cruises and some of the bad things? Let's do that after the break. And in the meantime, I have another question for you. I want you to noodle this over the break too. Mike Desitel on the stream says, I'm curious, what was Mike's inspiration for the look he gave the paper towel dispenser on his way out of the bathroom with Big Jake Norquist in The Godfather of Green Bay? If I remember correctly, that was in the script, but you like really got into it. It was great.
No, it wasn't in the script at all, but we'll
really,
it was not. But we'll talk about it.
Well done, buddy. All right. Mike Siegel is here. I like to call you TV's Mike Siegel because you've hosted enough shows, you know.
Because I haven't been on TV regularly for 10 years.
What do you call this, Mike? You're on the stream. This is like this is like poor man's TV. Safe travels, buddy. Say hi to your family, and we'll talk soon. Great catching up.
Thanks, Pete.
All right.
Good to see you as always.
Likewise. All right, that's Mike Siegel. Check out the Travel Tales podcast. It's outstanding. And we'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, this is Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Mark in the 608 says the TV show Chuck had an episode in season 2 where he beat the game Missile Command listening to Rush's Tom Sawyer. I'll take your word for it, Mark. That's incredible. What blows me away now is that people make a living having other people watch them play video games. It's insane. It's like watching fishing. The Brian Regan joke. You're not even fishing. You're watching fishing. So whatever floats your boat. Hey, I'm Pete Schwabba. Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide from Madison tonight. From WMDX, right?
Yeah. WMDX.
Yeah. It's always fun to do the show from here. Chris Casper helping out. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Conrad holding the fort back down back in Green Bay, telling everyone to keep it down so I don't know he's throwing a party. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She has been on the show before. She's a Madison-based singer-songwriter, and she's awesome in so many ways. And her name is Katie Scullin. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to have you back. I really enjoyed you being here last time. You came down. Do you live far away, or is this an easy commute for you?
It is. Yeah, okay. I'm close by. I live in Oregon, just south of Madison.
Oh, it's like a burb?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, That's good. Nice. Yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Did you have good holidays?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
anything
great.
Anything special? Did you do anything exciting?
Yes, I redid the basement into a boy den for my son, and he was able to have a bunch of friends over for New Year's.
Wow. So, you did that yourself? Are you handy?
I pretend to be. No, I had a little bit of help, but yeah.
Okay.
It was great. When you get to him. It's
very emasculating because I'm not handy at all.
No?
So if you were going to tell me that you put up drywall and, you know, laid down new floors, I would have felt really bad about it.
I have done some of that, but I get help from my dad.
Oh, that's impressive. Good for you. That's fantastic. And our question of the night, Katie, is... What is your favorite video game? When you're not writing songs, do you ever play video games? Do you have a favorite?
My favorite back in the day was Duck Hunt. My son would love for it to be Fortnite. He's a Fortnite kid. Yeah.
Does he do the dance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The dance is... I love the Fortnite dance. My son did it, too. And it's like, when he and his friends would break out into it...
Right.
It was like the most fun thing to watch. And then, like... professional athletes were doing it, the Fortnite dance. Right. It's just a fun thing. So, and Duck Hunt's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was like a pretty big deal.
Because
that came free with...
It was Nintendo.
Mario Brothers, right?
Nintendo, yeah.
That's right.
The old school. And then, was it Mario Kart? I always liked that one.
Yeah, Chris likes Mario Kart.
Yeah.
It's fun. All right. So, we have you here, though, not to talk about video games, but to
talk
music. I didn't make you drive all the way from Oregon to talk about video games. So how have you been? How's the career going? Have you played any good gigs recently? Where are things at?
I've been good, yeah. I've been mostly focused on writing and recording.
Okay.
My goal is to release a full length in 2025. So I have some time, but I've got, you know, like 5 or 6 songs ready to go, 3, 4 in the works. But yeah, I've been just really focused on that. Played a couple shows. Indie Tune Up is one that I really like here in Fitchburg.
How long does it take you to like, when you have the concept of a song, to write it down, mess around with it, from that moment to playing it live? What's that process like? How long is that?
I think it depends. Sometimes it will take months, and sometimes I'll write it in like a weekend.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah. Like, I wrote one this weekend, which is strange because sometimes I'll go through like seasons of writer's block and won't be able to write anything at all.
Huh?
Yeah, well, that's too bad. But it all depends.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it takes forever. And then sometimes I'll write a song and I'll go back to it and change it completely. And yeah.
That's good. So here's what I do. Like, I play guitar, I'm bad. And I'll think of like one line and I'll go, that could be a song.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a songwriter. And then that line ends up being the only thing I write. And I'll just play like 3 chords and sing that. And I'm like, I have no idea where to go with this. Like, I'm pretty amazed just that someone can write a song, even one song.
Yeah.
So how many songs will you have when you feel comfortable putting out a new album, so to speak?
I would love to have at a minimum 9
okay.
songs, I think, is a good full length album. And a lot of people don't really put out full length albums anymore. It's more of like single song releases, and I'm kind of doing it, you know, simultaneously. I'll like a single song release, and then eventually it will be, you know, the whole album, all of those single releases.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, sometimes that's all you need is just one line. That's sort of your vantage point.
To get you going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, when did you feel comfortable? Like, when you started out, I mean, you've been at this at least probably, what, 10 years or so? 8 or 10 years?
More than that.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So how long have you been at it?
I guess probably I started with my brother in 2009. We started our first band. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's been a while.
So how long did that take when you started playing with your brother and you guys, you know, would perform? How many songs did you feel like you needed before you could play in front of other people? That has to be a big jump.
Oh gosh, I don't know. We probably had 5 to 10 between the two of us, because he started songwriting as well in college, and then I started, and you know, on the weekends we'd meet up and collaborate, and then you know, we started learning cover songs to sort of fill in the gaps. I think the first thing we needed was like a 45-minute set.
Okay.
And then nowadays, most of the time it's like a 3-hour set, depending on the type of show that you do. If you're going to do like cover songs, you want to go, you know, have 3 hours of music.
Yeah. How many of those 3 hours, I mean, even big time rock and roll stars play covers. They like to play other people's music. It seems like, how many of the songs you play like in a 3-hour set would be cover tunes?
I sort of gauge the crowd. I usually like to keep it somewhere around like 50-50, but if, you know, there's a lot of people that I recognize. They know they're there to hear the original song, so I can put more of those in,
which
is fun. But yeah, if it's people I don't really know, you know, you gotta warm up to them and play the songs that they like or that they recognize.
Will you, I think I know the answer to this, but will you be willing to play us a song?
Absolutely.
You have a guitar. I figured you were prepared for that question.
As long as I don't get a free bird request.
Casper, what are you going to play for us?
Well, I think I'll do the one that we talked about. How about
the new one?
Sweet Escape.
Oh, Sweet Escape. I love Sweet Escape. Okay. Yes, please. All right, here's Katie Scullin live in the studio playing Sweet Escape. Chris is clapping on the other side of the... Conrad, are you clapping Chris. Your green bag? He's mysteriously dark. Okay. Yeah, there you go. You can hear more. That's a great song. I love it.
Thank you.
It's got such a bluesy... let me ask you something. What is your favorite genre, would you say, that has influenced your songwriting or music writing styles?
Gosh, I don't know. I like all sorts of music. Sometimes people have referred to me as like a wet noodle because I can't quite put me in a genre. Growing up, I really loved Tori Amos. Amos. I think that this particular song was inspired by Amy Winehouse, which maybe is
interesting.
Why it has sort
okay.
of that bluesy feel to it.
Yeah. It's kind of a haunting song too. It has very lot of undertones, you know, going on there. So
yeah,
that's cool. So how do you know when you have a great song? You have to play it in front of an audience first, or do you go, this is it, I love this?
I think sometimes I just like, I feel good about it, or like it hits me in a way where I'm like, I have to share it. I don't always know if it's good or not. But I think if I'm feeling something when I'm singing it, I guess I'm just hopeful that other people will resonate yeah. with that as well.
Do you need that connection with an audience to know? Do you like the song better when people respond to it, or is it a personal thing for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for a while I did it because I just like needed to. And then I started to receive feedback from people like, oh my gosh, that song, you know, this happened in my life and this song meant so much to me. And I think about their story and then I look back at the lyrics that I wrote and I'm just kind of like awestruck how a completely different situation means the same thing to them. Mm. And it was a different scenario for me.
Like they connect with it totally different than you what you were feeling maybe when you wrote it.
Right. That's or like the storyline. Like, yeah, it's a completely different like situation. But
yeah.
when you look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's so strange. Yeah.
So. Katie Scullin is here in studio with me for the second time. You were here probably in the summer, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was in pink pants. So
you adhere to those rules.
Right.
I'm more brassy than that. I'll wear pink pants after October 1st. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's just how nice. I roll. She's going to hopefully play something else for us. And I want to ask you about videos you've done too.
Okay.
Because I'm fascinated by that. Like you have great. And if you want to see more of Katie's stuff, go to katiescullin.com. There's a bio there. There's songs, some that have lyrics and videos. It's great stuff. Our question of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, get in on the fun. What is your favorite video game? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says The Sims.
Ooh.
I don't even know that. I've heard it, but I don't know anything about that.
I wonder if it's similar. I think SimCity, is that different? I used to love SimCity when I was a kid.
Probably. Like, it sounds really,
like
the kids would shorten it out of The Sims.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you, Kate. And she says, oh, Wii Basketball. All right. We'll read more of your text. Let us know what your favorite video game is tonight. Matt Miller is here at 720 breaking down the Golden Globes. Right now, we still got time with Katie Scullin. And that's where we're going to be when we come back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Got another text from the 715, Mario Kart. That's a popular one here tonight. Katie's played Mario Kart. Chris Casper loves Mario Kart. From the 818, Bridget says, the Wii. Our family has so much fun playing the resort games. That's exactly what I played over the holidays. Those are so much fun. The 100-pin bowling, right, Conrad?
yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, I know I can. I was just making sure you were still there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Jim from Appleton says, I grew up when Pong and Breakout were king. My favorite game was Space Zap. It's a game that you defended your base from invasion. It's so great reading all this stuff. Like, so many video games. I'm just not a gamer. Like, I've heard of Pong, and that was, like, could you even play Pong right now? Do you know what Pong is, Katie? It's just a ball, a graphic, and there's, two paddles.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dullest.
That was, like, one of the first ones, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure the people that got really good at it thought they were hot stuff back in the late 70s. We'll read Steady Eddie. Oh, Steady Eddie's short tonight. He says, and this is for Katie from the 608. Steady Eddie says, I'm enjoying your guest, Katie. Question, what kind of guitar does she play and how did she choose her guitar? That's a great question. I asked her that when she got here and he signs it Steadfast Edward tonight instead of Steady Eddie. So there you go, Katie.
I have a Taylor 414. I was talked into it by a former boyfriend. Way back in the day.
And it's worked out for you,
obviously. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It's nice. It's good.
Is that a thin neck or a...
I think so. I have small hands, so... Yeah.
It's funny, because some of the necks, like I played ones that have like the really wide necks.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like a struggle almost. Yeah. So...
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's good. I think it's a thinner neck.
It's got a great sound. Katie Scullin is here in studio. She is a singer-songwriter based here in Madison. She's got a few live shows coming up in the next few months. I'll tell you about those. On your video, or on your website, you've got several videos. What's that like? Like, you like to play the guitar and sing, but you're kind of acting in these videos. What's that like? Was that a natural transition, or?
I think I've always kind of liked both worlds, acting and music. When I was a kid, I used to make home videos with my friends, and we'd write skits and, you know, pull out the camcorder and yeah, and I've kind of always been in theater and whatnot, so yeah, it's fun. I definitely enjoy it, and some of them I've produced myself, some of them I have other producers, and it's a good time.
It is. How do you, when you make a video, you've got the song, you wrote the lyrics, you wrote the music, you know what it's about, do you bring an idea to the director of the video, or does he or she bring stuff and you collaborate? How much of it is you and how much of it is the other person?
I've done it a few different ways. I've done it where, you know, I'll have the idea and then we'll throw it together. Or I've done it where the producer and I collaborate. And then I've also done it where I let the producer just take the reins.
Nice.
Yeah, which All is right. nerve-wracking sometimes.
What was the one? Okay, so I watched Endless Summer, which is pretty much just you swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Underwater, which is really cool. How long do you have to hold your breath?
Oh, man. You know, I used to be underwater all the time when I was a kid. And then when I filmed that, I was like, I'm a little out of shape here. But yeah, as long as I could. We actually tried to film it in a lake, my best friend and I. And then we realized there was only two of us out in the middle of the water. And she was underwater and I was in a dress. And, you know, it was kind of scary at the same time, because like when you're in clothes, the water weighs you down.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was stuck inside of a fishnet, and I was like, this could be really bad. And it was kind of murky, like the footage. It turned out pretty cool, but then we decided that we wanted to do it in more of a controlled environment, and so we did it in a pool.
You have another one, which is almost like a movie. What's the one I was thinking of? Dream Awake?
Yes.
Is that the one? Is that your son or daughter in the film as a baby?
Yep.
And so what was that process like? Was that your idea to bring in your actual child into the video? Or
Nope, that was the director.
Okay.
He and I had never even met before. He just like, he must have heard about my album release, bought the album, listened to it, and then he's like, hey, you know, I'm a film director. Do you want to meet for coffee sometime? And so I met him and I really liked him a lot. His name's Bob Tronson. He's a director here in Madison. And we did collaborate a bit. He had some ideas and, you know, I was like, yeah, not totally comfortable with that. Like, let's change it to this. And then it all worked out in the end. So
what is that song about? I had the lyrics in front of me, but you've got like, it's fun. You're rolling around having those really sweet moments at home with your own child.
Yeah.
Was that mostly your idea?
That was his idea
okay.
to bring that in. Yeah. I think the song is about love. It's about moving on. It's about heartbreak. And the good that comes of it.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah. Where would you say you get most of your inspiration? I mean, a lot of love and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But is there a theme that has inspired you more than any other when it comes to writing?
It's definitely about love, I think.
Okay.
And also like trying to make beauty out of tragedy, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's been, you know, some hard times that I've gone through personally, and I've always tried to take every song that I'm writing, you know, if I'm feeling a hardship or whatever, to like see the brighter side of it.
Yeah. That definitely comes through. You have
I hope so.
You have kind of a melancholy thing sometimes, but you bring it up. It's great.
Yeah.
Katie Scullin is here. Matt Miller joins me at 7:20. But after the news, Katie will hopefully do another song for us.
Absolutely.
Keep talking. Maybe we can squeeze two songs and we'll see what happens. If your voice.
Cool. Yeah.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. A lot of stuff going around. All right, Katie Scullin is here. After the news, we'll have a few more minutes with Katie in studio, live from Madison. It's Nightlight, and it's great to have you with me. Let us know what your favorite video game is, and I will read it on the radio. You can't beat that, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We can't quit till we get to the other.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.